Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Canes Tire in San Rafael. Canes Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. For our final spring training podcast, we have a roundtable in Scottsdale, Arizona. I had a chance to sit down with Major League Baseball scorer Michael Duca, AAA Fresno play-by-play announcer Doug Greenwald, and former Major League pitcher with the San Francisco Giants, John DeAquisto. And welcome to our roundtable discussion. Actually, it should be called a square table discussion. We're here at Charleston's Restaurant in Scottsdale. That'll be the only mention we give them because they're not a sponsor, but we're going to give them kudos for a great meal. Joe Castellano, and I'm joined here by three very special guests for the square table, if we can call it that. Michael Duca, official scorer from Major League Baseball. John DeAquisto, former Major League pitcher, works for Major League Baseball as well. Doug Greenwald, play-by-play announcer, longtime announcer in Fresno with the Grizzlies, also doing play-by-play of the San Francisco Giants in spring training. We're going to start with the Hunter Pence injury because I think that's pretty much the biggest story for the Giants, and it really kind of jumbles things up as far as what Bruce Bochy is going to do. And we'll start with you, Michael. Just your thoughts about what the Giants should do. If you were the manager, if you were Boch, what would you do to try to replace him in the time that he's out? Because it looks like he'll be out at least until mid-May.
Well, you and I talked about this over the meal, Joe. My idea is that they should try and go get a spare outfielder from another team, and there's another team that's pretty close by, and a spare outfielder who's a pretty good outfielder. I don't see Max Venable having much playing time in San Diego. I mean, Will Venable. No, I don't see Max having any playing time anymore, although he's a great golfer. But no, Will doesn't seem to have a position with all of the outfielders that they've collected down there, although if they can afford the roster spots, they might need to do a complete line change out there on defense when they actually need somebody to go get the ball, because their starting outfielders don't do that very well. But I do think that they need someone who can at least present a threat at the plate. There's three starting outfielders right now, collectively, I think, had about as many home runs as Madison Bumgarner did last year. So that's just not going to frighten anybody to start out the season. And no, you don't lose the pennant in the first 3 weeks of the season, but you can sure as hell make it hard to win it.
John DeAquisto, how do you replace a guy like Hunter Pence as far as the energy that he brings, not just the home runs, but what he does defensively and what he does to lead the team, even if it is for only, you know, maybe 6 weeks out of the year? That's still plenty of games that make a difference.
Absolutely, Joe. Hunter Pence is the energy to the Giants. He's the light switch. You lose somebody like that, even if it's temporary, you can't really replace him with the energy that he generates, but you can keep him on the team and make sure he generates the energy and keep him on the club, you know, for that time period. But you, like, you know, Michael was saying, you need to bring somebody in that's going to fill the spot. If they have somebody, a young kid, maybe that can play there, that they're almost sure is about ready to play there, you know, let him play a little bit and see if that, you know, helps the ball club. You might find another panic there, you know, and God only knows what you're going to see with the Giants. You know, they're full of surprises all the time. But that's what I would do. Instead of going out and try to trade for somebody or pick up somebody, unless, you know, someone falls off the bread cart, you know, then I'd go within my system and add somebody in that position at that point.
More of the roundtable with Fresno AAA announcer Doug Greenwald, MLB scorer Michael Duca, and former Giants pitcher John DeAquisto right after this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right, Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee, State Farm, a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee, State Farm. Well, speaking of the system, you know, the Giants had been in Fresno a long time, and now they've moved to Sacramento. But, Doug, you've seen all these players, and, you know, Mac Williamson would have been a guy that they could have considered if he didn't miss last year because he had to have the Tommy John surgery on his elbow. So he's not ready yet. Is there anybody else that you could think of? And I agree with what John DeAquisto was saying. You know, you look at minor league players, they were fortunate. They had Joe Panik last year because he came up. They didn't have to go get a second baseman. What can they do in the outfield, you think?
Well, the one thing about the Giants is that, you know, it's tough to replace the talent of Pence, but they have plenty of numbers that can replace him. And a guy that they brought to spring training this year, and Bruce Bochy said he was going to give Justin Maxwell every chance to make it as a backup. Well, now he moves a little further up on the depth chart. He's made some good catches in the outfield. He's a guy that can play all three spots. Veteran players, been in the big leagues with Houston and Washington and Kansas City. So now all of a sudden he becomes more of a viable option. There's Gregor Blanco again, and instead of where in the past you've had Pagan go down in the middle of the season and you've had to plug in Blanco in center or somewhere in the outfield, once again, Gregor Blanco could be your starting right fielder. And then there's, of all people, Aoki, who, of course, they signed to play left field but played right field last year with Kansas City, and then maybe you put Blanco or Maxwell in left. Maybe Gary Brown gets a closer look. That's really the one name that hasn't been talked about out of all of this, but so the Giants have the numbers, and I don't think that they need to go out and get a player. I know Alan Craig's name gets kicked around, Ethier's name gets kicked around, where they're going to have to clear a roster spot and inherit a large contract. Maxwell, I guess they'd have to clear a roster spot. So the options are right there in front of them this spring.
Let me ask you this, though, Doug. I mean, since you did see Gary Brown, how major league ready is he, in your opinion, after seeing him in AAA last year?
Speed-wise, defensively, and arm-wise, in general, yes. Offensively, not quite ready. I think with Gary, and I've seen him for 2 years, and a good attitude and a good guy, and I'm glad he got that call-up last year. He certainly earned it. I think it's still recognizing pitches that in the big leagues on a 3-2 count, they threw me a changeup, and you know he'll sort of look back at the umpire and think, wow, you know, I can't believe they threw that. But no, I mean, the Giants didn't draft him number one to be a pinch runner. They didn't draft him number one to be a fourth or fifth outfielder. But right now, you know, Gary's 26 years old, two full AAA seasons, a fall league a few years ago, and obviously still not quite there, I think, offensively. I think they want him to walk a little more. And then the other thing is that he's had a chance to maybe go up and contribute because Pagan's been hurt the last 2 years. But obviously he's not been ready. The door has been open for him.
As we go back around the table, and we're talking here on March the 9th, another big topic of conversation around the Giants was the news that came out today that Pablo Sandoval told a reporter that he's not only going to miss basically Bruce Bochy and Hunter Pence, and that he knew during spring training last year that he wasn't going to be a Giant. John, when you heard that news, what did you think about Sandoval? Because, you know, he did say during the parade time that, oh, yeah, I want to spend the rest of my career in San Francisco, and that's not happening. He's in Boston.
I wasn't surprised one bit. I've always said blood is thicker than water, and that's what it boiled down to. And, you know, you look at things, and when Pablo starts saying it's not about the money, it's about family, and how he was treated, well, then you got to look back and say, well, who treated him wrong for all those years? I don't think he was ever treated wrong. I think they probably treated his brother wrong, and that's where he got upset and basically, you know, went to bat for his brother. But his brother's his agent. So blood's thicker than water and thicker than the good almighty dollar, and that's what you see.
More of the Scottsdale, Arizona Roundtable in a moment. It was time for a new pair of snow skis. And I couldn't be happier with my decision to buy them at Demosport, where the experience was great. And I found out that they not only have skis, but they have snowboards and snow apparel. And for the summer, get ready with water skis, wakeboards, stand-up paddleboards, and all of your land sports needs like bikes, scooters, and you can even get sunglasses there. Demosport, 1101 Francisco Boulevard in San Rafael. Call them at 415-454-3500. Demosport, committed to getting you the gear you need. Well, Pablo still, I mean, he leaves an indelible image of what he did to help the Giants win the three World Series, you know, especially when he hit the three homers, and especially 2014. But, Michael, you know, how do you now look at Sandoval and his legacy as a Giant when this happens? Because there are a lot of upset Giants fans about, you know, what happened today hearing that story.
Well, there are some people who are adept at sprinkling a little gasoline on the bridge and dropping a match. Pablo said about 100 pounds of C4 out there. There's not even any evidence that a bridge ever existed. And that's too good a fan base to go out and dislike that. They will remember, and I don't think they're going to treat him kindly when he does come through town, regardless of what uniform he's wearing. You know, I mean, Jeff Kent is acting as a roving coach in Giants camp this year. I mean, a lot of guys who didn't always leave on the best of terms seem to manage to come back. As Johnny D will tell you, once you're a Giant, you're always a Giant. No matter where else you go, something about that organization tugs at your heart. But I think, to be honest with you, I think that one of the things that happened with Pablo is that he looked out and saw Matt Cain, he saw Tim Lincecum, he saw Madison Bumgarner, he saw Buster Posey, all these guys getting big contracts before their free agent years came up, and he didn't get that offer. And I think that, more than anything else, probably hurt him and hurt his feelings. But also the fact that his brother had an 11-year minor league career that ended in the Giants organization and he never got above high A ball probably made it a little difficult for Brian Sabian and his crew to take Michael Sandoval very seriously across the table.
I agree 100% about you know, Pablo feeling that he was slighted compared to the other guys, but you know, the Giants definitely treated him well. And I had a chance to talk to Matt Cain today, and he did say that the Giants already miss Pablo Sandoval. And Doug, when you think about missing him, you think about, okay, who's replacing him? And Cain went on to say that, you know, you really can't look at it that way. It's not one player. How tough do you think it'll be for Casey McGee and just the team as a whole to try to pick up the slack there, because Sandoval was so important?
Well, for one, I don't see people wearing panda hats for Casey McGee. Number one, I think defensively Pablo's going to be missed. I mean, here's a guy, we talk about his weight, but he was a very nimble third baseman. I mean, he covered a lot of ground out there. So you can talk about maybe missing him offensively, but I mean, here's a guy that got to a lot of balls, that had a good strong arm, that he wasn't one of these guys that just, you know, you didn't really hear about in the past about, well, I eventually went to the American League where I can DH, and he's not doing that to start with in Boston. So first of all, defensively, you're going to miss him. Hitting-wise, you know, we don't know yet, but I think it further compounds the problem without Pence for the first 2 months, because now you're going into a season where there is no Pence to start. There won't be a Sandoval. So we'll see. For a team that's not really laden with a lot of power to begin with, so, you know, that could be a factor. But, you know, I'm not really stunned in the end about what happened, but, you know, let's think about this. Down the line, if Pablo Sandoval had agreed to stay with the Giants for, you know, let's say 5 years, how much would his weight be an issue in years 4 and 5? And I think that's really what it got down to.
By the way, speaking of third base, there was a spectacular play at third by Adam Duvall today that I wanted to mention. It's a spring training game, but he made a great diving stop. And I know he wasn't really terrific at third base in Fresno, but Doug, just tell us about what you think could be the future for him, because he has the power. He was closing in on 30 homers in the PCL. He wasn't hitting quite that well with the Giants, but what do you think about his future?
Well, obviously, the Giants felt they wanted to go get a veteran presence this year in McGee. I think with Duvall, he's really going to be on that bubble between San Francisco and Sacramento this year out of spring training. Depends on how they want to use the bench this year, but he is an intimidating factor off the bench. He is that guy that, you know, opposing team brings in a left-handed pitcher that you could see Duvall coming up to offset a batter that's left-handed to come up and hit. So he's got monster power. And you saw it at AT&T last year. His first major league game takes Mike Leake deep into the left field pavilion on the last regular season day, a long home run. So he's got a lot of pop. But it's just a question right now of where does he need a lot of playing time at AAA, where he's proven himself, or will he be better served off the bench where he can play both first and third in a pinch as well as pinch hit, give McGee a day off, get around the belt a day off. I'm a huge Adam Duvall fan on and off the field. I'm leaning that he somehow finds himself on the 25-man.
More of the roundtable with Fresno AAA announcer Doug Greenwald, MLB scorer Michael Duca, and former Giants pitcher John DeAquisto right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Since I mentioned Kane, let's go to the pitching. And we had the entire rotation, by the way, on this podcast this spring, which was pretty cool. And Matt Kane making his comeback. John, how important is that? What maybe concerns you about the rotation? And tell us a little bit about what you think about the role of Yusmeiro Petit, because he has shown that he's a great relief pitcher, but he could also start for you when you need him to.
Absolutely, Joe. That's basically the same type of job I had when I was at San Diego, was what Petit would do. Petit is a valuable part of the Giants staff, because if anyone does go down, they can rely on him to start and pick up the difference. They can also rely on him to relieve in any spot, closer, long man, short man, setup man, you name it. He's a versatile asset. And this is one thing that I talked to Boach about when we've talked many times. He kept going, I wish I had somebody like you. Well, he does. He does. And it's Petit. So he's got his guy, and he is going to be a valuable part to the Giants staff this year. In case anything does happen, he'll be there to pick up those loose ends.
What about Ryan Vogelsong? Because when I talked to him, anybody who listened to that interview, he really expressed some dismay about not knowing how it was going to work out of the bullpen, because he's been a starter. He's been successful. So what do you tell a guy like Ryan Vogelsong as he prepares to be, and he hates this term, swingman. Maybe that's not what we should term it, but you know that he's going to have, you know, a couple different roles on this team, it looks like.
It's hard to be told you're going to the pen when you've been starting all your career, and you're also a major part of a World Series team where you've done well. So to accept that role, I look at it this way. You're going to be a pitcher on my club, accept your role, and be there, because if someone falls out, you're going to be starting. So you need to be prepared. Don't worry about how it affects you personally. Worry about how it's going to affect the team if you're not prepared when we call on you. And that's the key that Ryan's got to get used to, is that be ready at all times. Put yourself on a schedule. Go down to the pen. Throw when you need to throw. Go in when you're going to go in, because those games are going to get grueling, and you better be ready. And that's what you have to be prepared for.
It looks like it's going to be a great bullpen, Michael, again. And that's really been the big key for the Giants to have success. What do you think about the closer spot? I mean, it went from Sergio Romo last year in the middle of the year when he was really in a slide. It went to Santiago Casilla. And then you saw Hunter Strickland come into some really important situations. He pitched really well in September, but then in the postseason he was giving up a lot of homers. And now he has a splitter now. And, you know, he's working on that. He's trying to diversify, and he throws so hard. Do you see him, you know, taking over that closer role? What do you predict might happen here at the end of the games?
Hunter Strickland might be the luckiest man on the planet, because he's got Bruce Bochy as his manager, and Boch is not going to put him in a position to fail. I think when all is said and done and careers are over, I think people are going to look back on Bruce Bochy and say, Tony La Russa revolutionized the use of the bullpen, but Bruce Bochy perfected it. I don't think there's anybody in the history of the game any better at managing a pen than Boch, and I think Hunter Strickland is in the best hands he can be in. I don't think he's ready to close games at the major league level. I think he needs to prove, first of all, that he's got that completely amnesic memory that a reliever needs to have, the ability to forget everything bad that happened, even if it happened on the previous pitch. And so far, he hasn't been able to demonstrate that. He got hot under the collar in the postseason, and he's got to live that down, and he knows he's got to live that down. But he'll have opportunities to show that. I'm of mixed emotions. My fantasy team had both Romo and Casilla on it last year, so I was happy either way that went. But I do think that psychologically, I think Romo's better suited to an eighth-inning role, and I think that Casilla's better suited to a ninth-inning role, and when his contract is up, I think Hunter Strickland will break down that door.
as we finish up the round table, square table, whatever we want to call it, a conversation, want to get from each of you what you think the main keys are for the Giants to have success in an odd number year, by the way, which has been a struggle for them. You know, I'll start by saying that you can look at Angel Pagan all you want, and I know last year I thought when he went down, the Giants were going down. They weren't going to be in the World Series. I even told Doug Greenwald, I'll admit it, I said the Giants were not going to the playoffs the way they were playing in July, but they did it. I'm not going to point to Angel Pagan. I'm going to say pitching, because I think if Matt Cain is the same Matt Cain or similar Matt Cain and they get it done, even with Pence being out and even with Pablo and Morris gone, they're going to stay in a lot of games and they're still going to have a great chance. So I'm going to point to that rotation. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I mean, Cain's got to stay healthy. Tim Lincecum, obviously, mechanical-wise, hopefully the work he did with his dad in the offseason has helped. Tim Hudson's health and age. Jake Peavy, I call him sort of the Hunter Pence of the pitching staff. He's that spiritual guy who, like Pence did in 2012, came in and gave the team a spiritual boost. I think Peavy did that last year in terms of the pitchers. Might not have been the greatest postseason pitcher, but they don't go to postseason without him. And he brings that mentality, whether or not he brings the results, I don't know. But I think after Bumgarner, who obviously carried such a large workload last year, it's going to be something that we as Giant fans never had to worry about, and that is the starting pitching. So, yeah, that's going to be the key.
I'm guessing that John feels the same way, being a former pitcher. And I want to add to this by asking you about Bumgarner, since Doug mentioned that, you know, how you would treat him after 270 innings total, including the World Series last year.
Let him do it again. I mean, why not? He's that type of guy. Okay, you don't restrict a guy like the Mad Bum. Okay, you let him go. He's a horse that'll tell you. He's a horse that'll tell you. He's push button, okay? But the success of the Giants is going to be strong at the corners, strong up the middle, and they have Panic and Crawford. Okay, if you look, got a good double play combination. You got strong at the corners, and you got strong up the middle. That is a key, and that includes the pitching side of it. Now, if the guys come back out like Lincecum and Matt Cain and have the years that they're supposed to have, this might be the first year they might come back and have an odd year World Series. That's my feeling, and I'm going to stick with it.
All right, Michael, you're the last one here. I'm just trying to figure out what you're going to say. I can't even predict it. I mean, it's probably not pitching. You're going to go against the grain.
I'm going to tell you that the key to the Giants' season is if the training staff is the Maytag repairman. If they're the loneliest people on the planet, then the team is going to be fine. I do think Angel Pagan matters. I think that if you've got a player who, when he's in the lineup, your team plays 670 ball, and when he's not in the lineup, your team plays 490 ball, I think he's proven his value. I've said 2 years in a row he's the most valuable player in the National League, and he's proved it when he goes out of the lineup, as opposed to the guys who prove it when they're in the lineup. I do think that the Giants are what they've always been. They have built a team for that ballpark. They can catch the ball. They can pitch the ball. They're going to scrap and scuffle for runs. They're going to win a lot of 2-1 games. And there's going to be a lot of nail salons that are going to be selling replacement tips for people, because Giants fans are going to be chewing their nails all the way down to the quick all year long. But that's just how they are. I mean, the guy that gets not nearly enough credit in all of this is Brian Sabian. Buster Posey is the only position player left from the 2010 World Series championship team. And it's only the end of the 2014 season, essentially. They have completely rebuilt and reloaded the offense of that team from scratch. And largely, you know, I mean, good chunks of it from inside. I think fans are going to be pleased at what they see in Casey McGee. He went to Japan and changed his entire hitting style, became a gap-to-gap singles-doubles hitter. He put up better numbers than Sandoval did last year. He was definitely not a 199 hitter from the right side. I think that there's a lot there. On the other hand, there's some teams in that division that have really improved. And my friend Dr. John over here thinks that the Diamondbacks may be getting ready to pull the trigger on sending out 4 or 5 kids for Cole Hamels, and that would really throw the whole division up in the air, I think.
No doubt. Well, thanks to everyone here, and see you at the ballpark. Thanks for listening to our roundtable discussion in Scottsdale with MLB scorer Michael Duca, AAA Fresno announcer Doug Greenwald, and former Major League pitcher with the Giants, John DeAquisto. That's it for spring training. Our regular season podcast begins next week as the Giants open up the 2015 regular season. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.